Okay, with that said, there's a handout sheet. You can follow along if you like to. We're going to talk about, I'm the type of pastor that when we have, I don't lock myself into a study so much that we just ignore what's going on around us. And so this is Valentine's Day, and well, what better time to talk about love? What better time to talk about what does the Bible say about love? Now, we know what the world says about love, don't we? Actually, I think the world doesn't understand love. If they did, you wouldn't have as much trouble in the world that we do. But with you and me living in this world and not being of this world, is that we can be susceptible to thinking like the world in different areas. You following me? If we're not careful, we can adopt many things and become very worldly. See, a lot of times we think worldly, whatever your definition of worldly is, and sometimes it's just an attitude that we carry about ourselves. And so with our celebration of Valentine's Day, I think it gives us an opportunity to consider the topic of love. So, ladies, what's your favorite color rose? Some like yellow and some like red, right? Roses are red. We learned ever since we were little, roses are red, violets are blue. How's the rest of that go? See, I know I'm sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that. You folks are very, very good today. Yeah. Actually, I had a senior moment. I didn't remember that, but I covered it up well, didn't I? All right. One of these days, I'm going to stand here and say, when am I done? And then Mike will get up and lead me down. That's coming, folks. That's coming. Hollywood's defined love by, think about this, and this will, we'll reminisce a little bit. Gentlemen showing up with flowers and candy, right? No? So you think I'm trapping you. You think, ah! but the lady's thrilled, and there you have it. That's what love is. Our world has defined love as romantic feelings or basically attraction. And that really doesn't have much to do with true love. True love in God's terms. See, we read a passage here where Jesus talks about how important love is, right? That's what he says. I mean, look what he says. A new commandment I give unto you. Now, that's interesting because love was around since God created this world, right? Adam and Eve, correct? Yeah. And so, but Jesus says to disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, I'm sure that they were, they traveled together, and just like families, you know. I can remember growing up in the Dressler family. My youngest brother, I was the only person in the world allowed to beat him up. Nobody else was. And that's love. I can remember people picking on him and me going, pow! Oh, and he got out of line. You know what? I'm glad I'm 6'2", and I'm glad he's about 5'8". I know what he's waiting. He's waiting until I'm in the nursing home. Then he's going to come in, and he's going to make up for all those years that I did that. I know that. I know that's coming. So, but, you know, here's what happens. A lot of times we say things like, I love chocolate. How many of you love chocolate? Now, we had some right outside the door there. How many of you got a piece of chocolate today and you ate it already, huh? There we go. I see little Sydney. She was eating chocolate. She is going to be bouncing off the walls. I'm thinking, woo-wee. Glad Blake's not here today because he'd be joining her. How about I love ice cream? Yeah. I don't know about you. I love ham and cheese Cosmos. I'll tell you, that's the best hoagie that you can get when you get... I love ham and cheese Cosmos. You notice what I'm saying? I don't like them. I love them. See, what happens is this... Now watch this, on a day like today, I love a summer evening sitting in the shade of the tree out back on a lawn chair with a cold glass of lemonade or ice water, right? Oh yeah. And I'm not tricking you. See, what happens is this. The English language is not as descriptive as the Greek language. Now, we say, I like this and I like that. But in the Greek language, I just want to, just to set the table here a little bit, I just want to teach you a little Greek, okay? He's more than a guy that owns a restaurant. So we're going to learn a little Greek today. Eros is a Greek word that was used many years ago for love. It's a sensual love, a physical love. And by the time the New Testament was written, it was not even included in the New Testament at all. I find that very interesting. The second Greek word for love was storge. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. If you put an A in there, you could say storage. But I don't think that's what it is. It's probably storage, and that would be a guess. And it's a word also that's not found in the Bible, but it referred to the type of love showed by a parent for a child. That's a, you have a parent, and they love their child. That's the Greek word for that. The third Greek word for love is one that we're familiar with, is phila or phileo, and we get the term Philadelphia out of that, which is the city of brotherly love. Now, also, I thought this was interesting as I found an article on love and included that in this. The word philosophy is also derived from that, and that's love of wisdom. Huh. Or philanthropy, which is love of fellow man. This word speaks of warm affection shared between friends. This is the type of love that the disciples had one for another. Okay? As we're looking at our passage here. And then we can feel this type of love, or this phileo love, towards friends and family. But notice this, not towards people that we dislike or people that we hate. You know, the left lane runners. We don't have phileo love towards them. We don't have phileo love with that police officer that pulls us over because he wants to remind us not to cut people off in traffic, right? We don't have that type of love. Now, then the fourth word, different from all these, is the fourth Greek word. It's agape. And I'm sure you already know this, and it's just maybe a refresher course. It is typically defined as self-sacrificing love. This is the love that moves people into action and looks out for the well-being of others, no matter what the personal cost. Biblically speaking, agape is the love God showed to us. John 3:16 is an example of agape love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What? Mike was teaching in Genesis on Abraham offering Isaac, and that's a picture of God giving his son, except Abraham didn't have to kill his son. God did. God followed through with it. For God so loved the world. That's agape love. That is God's love. It is the love that focuses on the will, not the emotions or experience. Now I want to say something at the onset of this, because a lot of times we think, well, now what are you trying to say, Pastor? Is that we're not supposed to have a warm affection for each other? I love my wife, but I like my wife. See, a lot of times if we're not careful, we say, well, okay, I'm looking out for the best for you, honey. And, you know, love is tender. Notice in this passage, go back to John chapter 13 again, and I want to point something out as we start here. Verse 33, what's the first two words in verse 33? Little children. Now, they weren't little children, were they? All you got to do is just, to get an adult upset is compare them to a child. But Jesus was not trying to get them upset. He was using a term of endearment to them. It's very interesting as he's talking to them. Judas is out of the room. No one thought that Judas would betray the Lord, but he was in the act of betraying the Lord. And so what happened is now that Judas is out of the room, notice what he says. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. And so he is talking to them about some heavy duty stuff. And so as we revisit agape just for a minute, I missed this one statement I see. Just as phileo or phileia is a love towards family and friends, but not towards those who we dislike or hate, agape love is the love that Jesus commands us as his disciples to show towards our enemies, those people that don't like us. Ooh, that's kind of sticky, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Because it's easy to love people who like you, right? Well, as we develop this passage, the problem is that few people have any idea of what true love is. Most people, including many Christians, seem to think of it only in terms of nice feelings, warm affections, romance, and desire. I like Valentine's Day. I do. I don't like chick flicks, though. Of course, you know that. You've been here a year. If you've been here a year and you've been me, it's just a little... But every once in a while, I sit down and watch one. Sometimes I even cry. I cry because it's going to be an hour before it's over. No. I don't. I should back that up, okay? And so what happens is this, is I want you to watch those. If you watch those movies, watch those and see if you can identify what kind of love they're talking about. That's interesting. What happens a lot of times in our world and can happen in our lives is when we say, I love you, we often mean, I love me and I want you. If we're not careful, we're in love with ourselves. And if people love us like we love ourselves, then you know what? I'm going to let you into my life. And that's wrong. That is, of course, the worst sort of selfishness, the very opposite of agape love. And as what I have said in that statement describes much of the state of the world. No wonder broken homes are common. Now we're going to look and we're going to come to this passage and we're going to see what Jesus says concerning love. Well, we already said that this is the first time that the Lord addressed his disciples as little children. It's a term of endearment. But number one on your sheet is where Jesus starts. He declares himself as the perfect example of love. Notice what he says in verse 34. This is where we're going to park for a little while. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's interesting. Jesus spent 3 years with these disciples. He was now coming up on the time where he was going to leave. That's what he's explaining there. As a matter of fact, if we would have read on in the passage, look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? That's interesting, isn't it? That's almost like Jesus dropped a bomb on him, right? It's time. For I have glorified the Father, he said, and the Father's going to glorify me. He says, okay, I want to leave something with you. Now, I've done at Bakerberg, I did an extensive study on John 13 through 17. But that was the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples. These are the last words that Jesus has to his disciples. And the first thing he says, of course, he washes their feet. But what he's talking to them about is saying, well, you know what I want you to do? I want you to love each other. Now, a lot of times when we, as Christians, start talking about love, we think, oh, the pastor wants us to just love everybody. We're going to be a bunch of compromisers. We're going to walk around, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. And, you know, you got to carry a barf bag with after a while because it just gets that bad. It's just like, I love you. Tie that one up. Oh, and see, a lot of times we walk around, we think, well, we're not supposed to preach against sin because I love you. We're not supposed to stand up for righteousness because I love you, right? Notice what Jesus says. He's the perfect example of it. Did Jesus stand against sin? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. Did he encounter confrontation? Yes or no? Oh, yes. Were there people out in the crowd that wanted to kill him? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. And yet he says this, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. He was the perfect expression of love in all expressions. Amen? See, I may have a bad day. Do you ever have a bad day? Come on now, amen? Do you ever have a bad day? Maybe I'm the only guy that has a bad day. See, last Sunday I asked for testimonies about how your bad day was, and I think Larry was the only taker on that. Right, Larry? And he couldn't get anybody talking to evening service about having a bad day, because nobody wants to talk about having a bad day. But watch this. Jesus never had a bad day where he got up and he was short with somebody, where he got up and he had a wrong attitude. Why? Because he was perfect. He was God. He was incapable of sin. Amen? Wow, that's incredible. So he says this. He is the perfect example of love. So that means this, that love isn't just walking around like this. You know, you walk downtown like this, I'm going to visit you in the hospital. They're going to have you in a straitjacket. What's the matter with you? Oh, you listened to one of my sermons again. Right? And see, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We think, okay, the pastor told me, and what we're going to do now is we're going to go home and say, okay, whatever he says today, I'm going to try to do that, honey. I am going to love as Jesus loved, a self-sacrificing love. And you know what? A message like this is not designed for you and me to go home, I got to love my wife more, I got to love my wife more, I got to love my kids more, I got to love my neighbor more. Oh, that last one, that's pretty tough. Right? No, but let's look and see what principles that Jesus is talking about. Look, because if Jesus is a perfect example, there were times where he confronted the Pharisees. He said to them, "This people draws nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me." That would seem like that would be a pretty harsh statement, right? I'm just guessing. Are you guessing with me? Oh, yeah. So, number two is this. Now, watch this. Also, they would have understood perfectly the word that he used there for love. See, we're reading this in an English translation, right? We're not reading the Greek New Testament in here today. But when he spoke that, he would have said, little children, he would have said, new commandment I give unto you, that ye agape. I don't know if it would have followed in that way, but I mean, I can't read Greek, so I can't read words you can't pronounce either. So, but they would have understood the word that he would have used there, and they would have understood that that was a self-sacrificing love. Number two, Jesus wanted his disciples to transfer the love they had for him to love one another. See, they loved Jesus. They'd have done anything for Jesus. As a matter of fact, they sort of sized each other up. I wonder who loves Jesus more in the room, right? Peter said, I'll tell you what, think about this statement, though all these people will run, I'm not, I'm going to die with you, Lord. If it's time to die, I'm dying. I'm dying with you. And, of course, then they're all standing over here in the corner after Peter says, yeah, me too, yeah, me too, yeah, me too, yeah. It's great, yeah. Boy, what a great supper that would have been. Can you imagine if we're all over the horses? And then all these guys are in the corner going, yeah, I'll die with you. They're just sitting around getting your meal going. Can I have my check, please? I'm going. And that's what they were doing. But they loved Jesus more than anything. As a matter of fact, when Jesus washed their feet, they didn't want to hear anything of it. Now notice this. He says, I want you to transfer the love that you have for me to love one another. Number three is this, the new commandment. This is a new commandment. During his absence, they were to be directed by the commandment of love. This commandment was not new in point of time because the Ten Commandments taught to love God and to love one neighbor. But this commandment was new in other ways. It was new because the Holy Spirit would empower believers to obey it. It was new in that it was superior to the old. The old said, love your neighbor. But the new said, love your enemies. Isn't that interesting? That's new. You know what? That's still revolutionary today. Is it not? I know I told you this before. you know, I'm talking about Mike and Millie Dockstader. They had a neighbor they didn't like. They invited him to church and he got saved. Turned into a neighbor that they liked them. How about this? You find a person that's difficult, invite him to church. Amen? Pray that God will save them. Now think about this. Think about this. Is it distasteful to you, our governmental leaders? I'd mention their names, but the black helicopters are listening. Right? If I just read off a certain list of names, would you maybe find your blood pressure going up a little bit? Whether it would be local? Because sometimes local politics can get just as hot and steamy as national politics, amen? Especially what I hear in Northumberland County. See, I don't even know their names, but I do know this. Is all you got to do is sit down at Jay's restaurant on Thursday morning, and you hear an awful lot that you're not supposed to hear. See, those black helicopters be going over the... listening Thursday mornings. How about state politics? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Well, watch this. Wouldn't it be great if they got saved? Wouldn't it be great? But you know what? Are we going to be the people that care about them and pray for them? Are we going to do that? That doesn't mean we have to agree with them. Amen? But that'd be wonderful. You know, was it Chuck Colston that got saved in the middle of Watergate? Yeah, you know what? God can still do that. God can still raise up incredible Christians out of a mess and out of a life which he would himself say that he became drunk with power. I believe that was one of the words that he said. And yet he got saved. Amen? Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, best way to shut down an abortion clinic is not to burn it down. Just love the director of that clinic, pray and witness to him, and if God saves them, they shut down their own clinics. There was one in State College one year, that many years ago, that you know what they did? The person got saved that had the clinic, closed it down. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? Now, look what Jesus says here in this passage. A new commandment, right? It was new. It called for a higher degree of love, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The law of love to others is now explained with new clarity, enforced by new motives and obligations, illustrated by a new example, and obeyed in a new way. And look what he says with number four. Love practiced would be a powerful witness to all of the power of God. Look what he says in verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Isn't that incredible? What does that passage say again? I find this absolutely incredible. Look what he says. By this shall... how many men? All men. That means this. That means this. The world, as well as other Christians, will know what? Will know that we are followers of Jesus, because that's what a disciple... he's talking about... Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. Now, notice what he says again. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. The Bible doesn't say... I want you to think about this. The Bible doesn't say... Jesus doesn't say here, by this shall the world know that you're good people. There's plenty of good people that have absolute hate in their heart for their enemies and get even all the time. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. There's some people that are just absolutely lovely until you cross them, right? Come on now. Amen? Jesus says that this is a powerful witness. Now, if you're like me, I look at this passage. Here we have this word all again. Isn't that so? By this shall all men know. Not some. You know what? I'm going to tell you how powerful love is. I'm going to tell you what the power of love means to this church, to this group of believers, in the mission field in which God put us here. Let's see. We want to affect this city for Christ, do we not? Come on now, amen? We want to be a witness to this city? We want to be a witness to the surrounding area. I want to be a witness to Freeburg, too. I think we can annex Freeburg into Sunbury. They might not like that, but that's okay. Right? You know what the Bible says? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Wow. Jesus says that when we love the way He loves, that this becomes a bright and shining light for Him. Now, let's go back. What is the misconception that the world has about love? Watch this statement again. I love me, and if you love me, I like you. That's not that kind of love. Amen? Watch this. I love you as long as you're doing what I want you to do. Right? And guess what? That's where we all going to fail. Amen? Now think about that. Think about that. Do you know what our problem is a lot of times? We put way too much stock in people. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm going to guarantee you one thing. One thing, as long as God has me here as pastor of First Baptist Church, that I will disappoint you sometime or other. Amen? I can guarantee you that. You know why? Because I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And you say, well, okay. So now you're faced with a dilemma. Oh, I don't know if I can like a guy like that. Well, you're right. I don't like me either. Okay? But that's what Jesus is saying here. By this shall all men know if you are my that you are my disciples. That you have what? Love towards the world? Love towards each other. That's what it says. Let me read it again. If you have love one to another. Now who's he talking to here? He's talking about those who were following him, right? Let's get that straight. Those who were following him, it's just like, oh, you mean Peter stands up later on and says, I'll tell you what, I don't care. I don't care what you say. I'm dying with you. I don't care. If all these forsake you. That was a real good icebreaker in the room. And I imagine, here's what they're saying. Hey. And here's James talking to John. There's Peter over there blowing his mouth off. Right? That's what he's saying. You know, a lot of times we think, we're all sitting around going, is it my turn to read this now? Is it my turn to read this, Lord? No, that it was their lives. And you know what they thought? There's that Peter again. And you know what I think? I think they loved it when he put his foot in his mouth. Don't you just love it when somebody puts their foot in their mouth? Come on now, amen? Don't you just love that? You know what? If you just be quiet. But that's the dynamics of serving and following Christ together. Amen? That's the dynamics in the Word of God. And Jesus said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, let's continue on. And what we find is, as number five, this love is given to us. See, this is why you're not supposed to conjure this up. You can't conjure this up. Now, you know what comes, you know what I think comes natural to us? The S-T-O-R-G-E, the love that a parent has for a child. Doesn't that just come natural? You take, ladies, now I'm not a lady, okay? I have to admit, I lack in that area. But you hold that newborn baby, what do? Your heart just immediately, even before that child's born, is just knit with that type of love. Amen? Now, us guys stand there and say, look at that old baldy. Look at that. That's, you know, the only beautiful baby is your own. That's it. Everyone else, look at that. Right? Now, same way with phileo love. Attraction towards each other. It's incredible. We enjoy each other. As a matter of fact, as we serve together, we get to know each other better. Different personalities click better together. I'm not using that word click in a bad way, but I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I realize this. I always make everybody glad. Everywhere I go, make everybody glad. Some are glad to see me come, others are glad to see me go. But you know what? Everybody's glad.
They're just glad at different times. Amen? And so what happens is we feel more comfortable around other people, don't you? Oh yeah, that's a phileo type of love. It's an affection.
And so this love is given. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. Fruit of the Spirit in my life. Fruit of the Spirit in my life. For the sake of time, Romans 5:5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Shed abroad means it's literally poured out by the Holy Spirit, which the end of that verse says, which is given unto us. The world cannot love as God loves until they have the Spirit of God living in them. And that happens when a person trusts Christ. If you know Christ today, the Spirit of God lives in you. You say, well, I don't always feel like loving. Well, that's true. That's because in that area, we're not yielded to His control. Simply put. Amen? Oh, yeah. And then number six is love defined. You say, yeah, this is really long. 1 Corinthians 13, why don't you turn there? I'm just going to read it because I think it's self-exclamatory. Now, I could preach several different messages on it, but I'm not going to do that. See, a lot of times we think of 1 Corinthians, okay, he's talking about tongues, he's talking about the abuse of the gifts, and then we have this wonderful love chapter. Let's start with verse 4. Now, the King James used the word charity, so I'm going to substitute the word love because God's love is not charity. God's love is God's love. I think it's a mistranslation. But watch this. Love suffers long, okay? Got that, right? Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. And you say, what does that mean? Well, love doesn't brag. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. Now let's get on to the last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So, I want you to turn to one exchange in the Bible to close the message this morning. John chapter 21. This is where we have the most graphic conversation using two types of love. John chapter 21, and I'll close with this. Jesus, Peter says he's going fishing, takes a bunch of his disciples with him. Jesus is crucified. He's already risen from the dead. Peter's awful discouraged because he denied the Lord. And Peter's out fishing. Jesus is standing on the bank. And they come, and they are, notice verse 14 says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he's risen from the dead. Jesus makes breakfast for the guys. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What do you think the Greek word is that Jesus is using there? Agape, okay? Peter answers, he saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, what is the word that Peter responds with? Phileo, I like you. I'm attracted to you. And Jesus says, he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? What's the word? Agape or phileo? Agape, okay? He's calling him to a self-sacrificing love, correct? Now watch this. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He responds with, I like you. Right? That's how he responds. That's the word he uses. In the Greek text, it would be there. Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now what? Do you think that Peter just gets upset with Jesus because he asked him three times? No. There's a switch in the word here. He uses Peter's word now. He says, do you even like me? Do you even like me? Isn't that interesting? You wouldn't catch that except you go to the Greek usage of the words. So Jesus was really challenging him with even just being attracted to Jesus. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And you know what? Peter calls upon the sovereignty of God, the fact that Jesus knew everything. He knew that he liked him. But watch this. He said this. Now watch this. He says, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And then he goes on and explains that there would be a time in Peter's life where he would love him with agape love, because he would give his life. I think Valentine's Day is a good day for us to... I don't want to rain on your parade. If you got a heart-shaped box of candy, that's great. If you got red roses, don't go and say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not supposed to do that." Hey, just save me $45. Thanks. By the way, I get 20% of that. Just put it in an envelope, put it in my office. Okay, guys? No. But what I want us to realize this is that whether we believe it or not, when we are obedient to God's Word and we understand the words as they're given in the Bible, it frees us up to live in love to a measure far greater than what this world can even offer. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. Loving on a higher level, a more intimate level than what we could ever accomplish by just going and saying, "Well, I like you. I'm glad you're here." No. Do I love as God loves? Does it show for my spouse? Does it show for my family? Does it show to my friends? Now watch this. Does it show to my enemies? Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Let's pray.